Welcome to Criminal Thinking Deterred with your host, Tony Moore. Here we talk about how to take responsibility for your decisions, stop hurting people, become a positive force in your community, and end the criminal thinking that deters everyone.
Welcome to another rendition of Criminal Thinking Deterred. We're here with my guest, Scott Durkin, and my executive director, Philip Day. I'm very excited for my guest today, Scott Durkin. We go some time back, and I just watch him develop, and I'm so proud of the life that he has turned around, and to be able to be the father that he is and the man that he has enlarged himself to be, to take care of his boys, and just to watch Mr. Durkin go through all of the things that he has endured in the last 10 years or so has just been an inspiration to myself as I go out and I deliver some of his story to other people on the hope and the possibility of succeeding. He's always one of the testimonies I like to give other folks hope about what it is to do when you're dealing with your criminal thinking and how to be deterred from the behavior that can cause you to lose your freedom and lose your loved ones. So welcome, Scott. And I want you to give us a brief introduction of yourself and who you are, and how did you get to this point to criminal thinking deterred?
Well, I'm Scott Durkin. I'm a retired junkie, addict. My kids, my family. I mean, I wish it wouldn't take me so long to figure it out. I mean, I could have been so much farther in life had I gotten this stuff together many years ago. I'm not kidding. I'm just grateful to be here. Grateful to know you and be a part of Birds of a Feather. For me, it's just, you had a want as bad as you want to breathe. You know, you want to have a life that you can be proud of and your kids not resent and hate you, you know, and I've done a lot of bad things and grateful I'm still here.
Yeah. Really, you know, sure. I watched you over the course of the few years that we have known each other, and give me, how did the program help you deal with some of the stresses and pressures of life that you deal with? What was some points that you brought out of the program that helped you?
For me, it's being. The tree analogy that you used about where I got out of the parenting classes and to be present in my children's life and to be present. You know?
Yeah.
If I can't take care of myself, I can't take care of them. Now, if I'm not running around getting high and doing drugs and I'm neglecting them, then they ain't got a chance in hell to make it. My biggest thing, everything was just, I wanted to be the man that I could have been or could be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the drugs and everything was just from the traumatic experiences and use drugs to deal with the life, you know, and how to handle life on life's terms. And I try to handle life on my terms. And then we saw where that got me, you know, getting my kids taken away, getting into probation, going to jail, and losing everything, literally. I try to handle life on my terms, not life on life's terms. And I failed miserably at it, you know. And when I decided just to live life on life's terms, you know, and just, my dad used to tell me, just do what you're supposed to do in life. It's that simple. Mm-hmm. Do what you're supposed to do. But I didn't listen. I thought, yeah, I can do it my way. And yeah, I didn't get very far doing it my way.
But you had a lot of trauma in your life at a very early age, dealing with your father's death in your arms, and
Right.
Then your wife and all those things. Talk a little bit about that. How did you unpack all of that and get off the drugs?
I got clean originally because I had to make it right with the courts, probation and parole, to get my children back. I got clean because I had to, not because I wanted to, per se. You know, and then I did all the steps, get clean, stay clean. Then I was off probation and off social services. And then whenever he was out of my life, I stopped doing the things that kept me sober by going to counseling, going to Birds of a Feather, doing parenting classes. And I figured it was like, you know, kicking a dead horse. I don't need it anymore. I'm clean and sober. I'm good, you know. But the reality is you forget where you come from. And you stray too far away and think that you don't need help. Well, then you're going to end up doing the things that got you in the first place. If I had a relapse, I figured it out for myself. You know, I realized I can't do anything. I can't do a little bit. I can't take one hit, can't take one pill, one drink, because I don't know when to quit. You know, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to go all the way to the ninth. But, you know, so some people party till the morning time. I party till I turn into a felon. You know, in between, it's either all in or not at all. So I had to realize by relapse that I can't play at all. You know, because there is no medium. There's no little bit here and there. You know, and I just got tired of all the lies. You know, and my kids are growing up. I can't hide them in the corner. I can't sneak and, you know, shove them in the corner, put them in bed and go do drugs and be able to provide for them and keep the lights on and food in the fridge. You know, and my children growing up, they'd be getting high. And getting caught by them would be worse than getting caught by a cop or social services, social worker, you know. But getting caught by my eldest, he would have nothing to do with me. He would move out of my house, want nothing to be around. And that would kill me more than going to jail or being arrested. So I've already lost so much. I've lost more in my life than I'll ever have or see again.
How long have you been sober now? With the one relapse?
Over 6 years.
Okay.
So I would have been clean for, God, almost about nine years I would have been clean. I was clean for the first four years. And then it's funny because when everybody's on probation and social services, everybody's clean, they're doing well and everything. Well, come talk to me when you're off probation 6 months later. Let's see how clean you are. Everybody's doing great and clean and when they're on probation and they got babysitters. I learned from you, you got to police yourself. You got to be your own PO. You know, I learned the apple birds with a feather and take accountability. So I was clean for the first 4 years and then everybody was out of my life. I stayed clean, but I quit going to meetings because, like, I don't need it. I don't need to be reminded. But in the reality, I do. So I go to meetings and I go to birds with a feather and people are there that are on their last chance. Getting your license back or probation and parole or, you know, it's their last stop. You know, you either get clean or you're going back to prison. So I need to be face-to-face with an addict that just got high. So I see where you are now and I see where I am. And I'm grateful for who I am and where I'm at and where you are. So I need it in my face. So, you know, I say that I'm a retired junkie. That I bring it up on my Facebook that, you know, retired addict because I can't forget it because as soon as I forget it, you know, I don't know what the word is, but, you know, I'm going to forget where I came from. I'm going to go back. I'm going to by any means, but can't get complacent.
How has your thinking changed about the enemy within you? How do you look at that?
It's an old African proverb. If there's no enemy within inside, the enemy outside can do you no harm. I'm good. Internally, I'm good. I'm just grateful to still be here, to be quite frank. I mean, of all the things I've done, I should be dead. Like, no children, I should be in prison or dead right now. I shouldn't have what I have. So I live every day in gratitude. And that's how I guess I live my life, is in gratitude daily. I'm grateful I get to go to work. I'm grateful that I have a job to go to. I'm grateful that I have children to take care of. At one point in time, I lost everything. You know, my son's mom was dead. My children were taken from me, facing prison. I had nothing, strung out on a street corner, lost my house, my car. I had completely nothing. I lost everything that I ever worked for. And I never thought I would get to that stage in life. And there was a one point in time when I had everything. I had an arcade in my basement. I had a monster truck. I had toys. And I was standing in my garage doorway. To this day, I remember that. Thought to myself that I was proud of myself. I never smoked crack and heroin. You know, I smoked pot, not an issue, but I was proud of myself. I never did the hard drugs. And it couldn't have been 6 months after I thought them words, standing in my garage and proud of everything that I had. 6 months later, I lost everything.
Why?
And it was a downward spiral. Then I started shooting heroin, you know, and smoking a crack until they came and took my kids from me. You know, and having social services walk in your door to take your kids and going in the courtroom, standing there in handcuffs and coming from a jail cell and having your rights taken from you with, you know, track marks up and down your arm. And you got a newborn baby and a 9-year-old son standing there, you know, to lose everything. You know, and then start from scratch. And I did what I had to do because I had to make it right to my kids back like I did. But the reality is you got to do it because you want it. You know, you can appease anybody and do, but unless you want it for you, it all means nothing. As soon as the probation's gone, Tony Moore, everybody's out of your life. It goes back to do the right thing even when no one is watching. So I just keep doing the right thing even when no one is watching. And it's a little, and I learned it's all the little things that you do in your daily life that equal up to something great. You know, or all the little things that you do is going to blow up into something bad, very bad. You know, the hiding in your closet, doing, sneaking around and doing bad things. Eventually, you know, what you do in the darkness is going to come into the light in any manner. So I just gave up and my hands to God, just kind of like Jesus, take the wheel. When I got clean, finally, I lost my job. We interviewed, come back from Milwaukee, driving my truck, and realizing that I'm going to go back to my girlfriend, and I got to tell her that I lost my job, and I got $1,000 a week drug habit again. You know, and then I did tell her, she's like, if you lost your kids, lost everything, and then you got it all back, and you won, why would you risk it again, knowing that they're going to take your kids and your job and losing everything? And I'm like, well, that's what us addicts do, you know? It's just, it is what it is. I can't explain it. We just want to get high. But I just knew that I wanted it for myself, and I wasn't going to get a second chance to have my kids. They're going to take them from me, and that'd be it. You know, so I
ran. And how old are your kids?
Gosh, my oldest is 10 now. Scotty's 19. Scott's mom's been passed away now 10 years. It was 10 years in May. Scotty's in college. Kenny's last year in grammar school, going into junior high next year. I got a beautiful little house on the lakefront. I got toys. I'm living a life that I didn't think I could have, you know, and I'm living my best life now. In all manner of speaking, you know, and I put myself on Facebook. I put it out there because I kind of like live in a glass house now. I got nothing to hide. You know, before I'd be living in my closet, hiding out of the closet, you know. And then when I came out of my closet, life passed by. Everybody I knew's children are already grown, having kids. And I miss so much by hiding and sneaking around. And no, I'm just tired. No, I'm too old and I don't want to live that way. You know, I've lived every which way but a good life, and all I'm striving to do is live my best life and enjoy what life has to offer.
Yeah.
In every which way. I've already lived
every which way. So now, Scott, now that you've reclaimed some of those things that you always knew that you could have, what is it like for you to deal with maintaining it and keeping it, dealing with the stress of you just was in an accident at work.
Took all my teeth. I lost all my teeth from the accident. I got hit with a crane in the face. It's nothing. All I tell people is life is easy peasy from here out. So what I went through, a living hell. The thing that can happen to me now is nothing compared to what I went through, going in front of a judge, having your rights stripped away, you know, and being caught in a drug house, you know, and just slandered your name. So life is nothing. You can't touch me. No one can do nothing to me that I had already done, Ben said. Life's easy peasy. I mean, there's, I created a life that I don't need a vacation from. I don't need anything from anything. I don't worry about nothing. Nothing bothers me. You know, and it all comes back in, like, I have no inner demons. As long as there's no enemy within the outside, the enemy outside can't do you no harm. And I'm good. I created a life that I don't need to do drugs to get high from, to escape from. My kids are healthy, happy. We're going to go to the skateboard park here tomorrow. Kenny's been sick. My mom had another heart attack a couple days ago, and I've been in the hospital every day checking on her. And back in the day, I would have gone and got high to deal with what's going on, you know? And all that would have been as an excuse to get high.
Yes.
Traumas, at this point, there's no excuse. Oh, I needed a drink because I couldn't handle my day or this. That's just an excuse. You know, you're drinking because you want to do it. I just got no, I don't care. I don't know. What I went through and where I'm at now, everything's easy peasy. You can't touch or bother me. You can't rattle my cage, you know, because I already put it out there. Everybody knows what I've done. And, you know, so no one can say anything against me. I already beat it. I beat everything. Beat all the odds.
So let me just say it like this. So in your expectation of knowing that life is what happens to you when you're busy living life, the things that come with life, good and bad, you have learned to adapt and adjust to being able to handle them a lot better without using drugs and alcohol. Would that be safe to say?
Yeah, but I had to lose it all to find myself. I had to go through hell in a handbag to figure out who I am and what I am, and I am not that. I'm not what I was. I don't know. I guess living life in clarity now. Everything that doesn't, the stress of the life. It's just, I had to learn how to live life on life's terms.
Yeah.
And as soon as you try to change it, live life your way, well, that's where everything's going to go to hell. I can't control the sun coming up. I know the sun will come up every day, and the sun will go down, the night will come. You know, seasons come, you know, but there'll always be tomorrow. So I've learned that. This too shall pass. Whether I'm in a good mood, whether everything's great, this too shall pass. If everything is bad, you know, and life goes to hell, this too shall pass.
Yeah.
And so I just had to learn to live life in life's terms and just let it blow by. Just not get too wrapped up in the little thing. Because everything is little. You know,
so the program seems to have helped you sort through a lot of the trauma from your past and what you're going to do in your future.
Well, a lot of the program, my biggest thing was your parenting class to help how to take care of me so I can take care of my kids. If I can't take care of me, I damn sure can't take care of my kids.
Right.
So I have selfish to a degree. Because if I take care of me and I do me, then my children automatically get the fruits of my labor.
Yes.
So if I take care of myself and put the roof over my head, and take care of me and the food in my fridge, take care of me, my children automatically benefit. You know?
Yes.
So I start worrying about my kids and I got to do this for my children, and I take away from me. Well, if I don't take care of my health and take care of me, I can't take care of them.
That's right.
So my biggest, like, in the whole, the tree of life, and I got to be the trunk of the tree, and my kids are the branches and the leaves and the grandkids. So I had to learn that my mental health is more than my children or anything else, because if my mental is not there, then I'm no good for my kids or anybody. So the stress and worry about life, I just can't. And then going to the meetings at Tony Moore's, listening to Tony speak about his own personal, you know, like when he was in prison and his daughter came to visit him and she asked him, why can't you take care of me? Why can't you raise me? And he's sitting in a box, in, you know, in a cell. in his childhood. And that resonates with me extremely, because my kids need me. His mother just died, and why can't I take care of him? And I'm too busy locked up in this drug addiction and feeling the pity party of my own problems. So, yeah, listening to Toni Moore and Charles talk, and Charles really ream it to you, you know, like no tomorrow. Because you both have different ways of coming across.
Yeah.
Listening to you guys resonate. I haven't gone lately because my new job is just the hours are conflicting with your schedule of classes. But I mean, I owe my sobriety to Birds of Feather and Toni Moore and you. And,
well, I think it's a mutual thing, Scott. All that you have brought in, the success that you continue to demonstrate and show, helps us to be able to tell others, you know, again, about your testimony, and that the program is actually supposed to help you go back and live life like you're living it. You get your family. If you need check-ins, you can always come in, but you don't have to be so inundated with having to get to the meeting every day now. Your meeting is your children having a conversation over dinner with you, and you going to work and talking to your boss without having to get high. That's what the Thinking for a Change program, Criminal Thinking Deterred, is all about. That's what we should be able to do. How do we help individuals to be able to engage a better level of thinking so that they perform better in their daily life? And you're an example of how that works. With
you want as bad as you want to breathe. You just got to want it as bad as you want to breathe. You know, you want to live the best life you can, because reality, I'm sorry, we're all running out of time. You know, and I listen to T.D. Jakes, I listen to motivational tapes, Les Brown, you know, and T.D. Jakes says, it's just, we're all running out of time. You know, what are you going to do with the time you have left? And that resonates a lot, because I'm 50 years old, and I'm no farther now than I was in my 20s. You know, and I wasted so many years and millions of dollars doing drugs and lying and stealing and cheating and chasing, getting chased by cops. And all for nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, yeah. I could have been so much farther in life instead of, like, I'm grateful, and you know, everybody's got their own path, and I'm as far as I am from where I started. I've gotten pretty far, I guess. It's hard to accept her. People congratulate me, all good job that you got clean, and you have a Corvette and motorcycles and a house and everything, but I can't take the credit, because it never should have happened. You know, it never should have happened. It never should have. It just shouldn't have happened, you know? And my regrets, you know, is going down that path of drugs and that lifestyle, because all it did was, instead of masking whatever pain I was going through, it made it worse. Everything I was trying to escape, and all the drugs did was just make it worse. If I would have just, you know, head on, instead of hiding behind the drugs and accept life on life's terms, I could have been so much better off. And now my kids are older, and I don't want them to resent me and hate me for everything I've done. Maybe now they can look back and be more proud. Scotty looked at me one day, and he made a comment about, we have the same name, Scott Lawrence Birkensack. He's like my junior, and I want to be proud of having my name and not be proud. Because years back, he made a comment like, "Oh, yeah, he went somewhere, and oh, you're Scott Durkin's kid," and they looked down on him like, you know, that's a drug addict, you know. And I didn't want my legacy to be, you know, have my kid be, like, oh, my dad OD'd and died, or my dad was a drug addict, and oh, I know your father. Now I want my kid around, or they don't want nothing to do with my son because they know his father is nothing but a drug addict and a thief. And no, I didn't want my legacy to be that way, or have him, I don't did not re- resent having my name, resent who he is and where he came from. I want him to, you know, so I just want to make things right so I can give my children a better life and a good life. His mom's gone. And if I OD'd and died too, then he wouldn't have a chance in hell to have a normal life.
Yes. You know?
And I just can't. Like, my own selfishness can't. Maybe I'm being selfish now, but in a better way. Because I want my kids to be maybe not proud of me, but at least, you know, like, hey, my dad overcame this when he got past this. Or, yeah, he was an addict, but look what he's done with himself now and what he's come through. And well, so I'm not proud of what I've done in any manner, but I can't replay, I can't erase what I've done. It's there in black and white. All I can do is be better than what I was. So all I've been doing is striving is just to be better than I was, trying daily. And it's a little thing that you do every day in your life. They build up something beautiful to where I've gotten now, you know, and that's why I do my daily thing in Facebook, because you're going to see the decline. Either you're going to see me grow and do better and have a great life, or you're going to see it all diminish.
It's the responsibility. It's your responsibility and your accountability, which makes you say those dreaded words that a lot of people are afraid of, is selfish. Well, if I don't be selfish enough to take care of me, how can I ever be selfish enough to take care of children?
Yeah.
It still takes the same sacrifice. See, I have to learn how to be selfish enough to take care of the life that I've been given and promised from God, who I believe in. And I have to be selfish enough about that to make the sacrifices to be the best version of myself so that I can demonstrate the example of what that looks like to my children to create the legacy of the strong tree, which extends to his branches, the enough energy to know this is what you're supposed to be. Here's the DNA. Because I did it, I show it, I live it. Now you get a chance to see it from your father, from your brother, from your husband, from your man. Now everyone engaged with you get a chance to see what selfish really looks like, being accountable and responsible. That's what you're demonstrating. Which is uncomfortable for a lot of men because it's a change in the process. And we get uncomfortable, and that's why emotional health has to kick in and say, I'm emotionally sound that I need to take care of myself. That sounds so simple, but it's so hard for so many men.
But it is. That's the problem. It is so simple. Just do what you're supposed to do in life. It's that easy, you know? We make it hard. We make it, you know, complicated.
Yes.
Life ain't complicated. It's pretty damn simple. You know, you do what you're supposed to do in life, and you know, we complicate it by lying and drugging and thieving and creating lies. You know, mm-hmm. In the end, I mean, who's gonna be there for you? If you're lying and stealing the whole life, then there's, I don't want to die alone per se.
Yes.
You know, I want to give my kids the best life as I can. And I believe I've finally created that to a degree.
Yeah.
A lot of work. But I have to be honest with myself that I'm an addict. You know, I'm a drug addict, pulling through and through. And I don't deny it. And I don't, you know, hide from it. I can't deny who I am or what I am. And I can't have one drink. I can't go get, I can't, you know, because I don't play, you know. Whatever I do, I go all the way out. So even being sober and doing what I'm doing everything that I can, you know, to the best of my ability.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah. And on top of that, Scott, though, we have both experienced the addiction part and has the resume of being addicts. But now in the 9 years, 10 years that you've been sober, you also can say I'm a good father because of the demonstration that you have shown to your children.
Well, yeah, I am not a good father. I am not a good person. I am not a good man any level. I'm just trying to be better than I was. And that's my first accountability. I'm not trying to be anything that I'm not. You know, if I was a good father, a good man, it never would have happened.
What would have never happened?
The lies,
bounce back?
No, none. If I was a good man or a good father, none of this would have happened. Everything that happened in my life never would have happened. I would have done the right thing in the get-go. I would have been the father that I needed to be when my son was born. So obviously I'm not, you know.
Obviously you are, because you bounced back.
I'm just trying to be better than I was.
In my opinion, and watching you for the last 10 years, I seen the guy who tried to bring the urine in. I seen the guy who
lying there.
Yeah.
I mean,
I seen the guy. So in my own perspective, can say I know that you to be a good father because I've seen what you did with the boys. Not well, that you I'm, have to agree with me. I'm disagreeing with myself because of what I've seen. And I watched the courts give you back some kids that they wouldn't have gave back to a bad father. They had right. to assume what I assume, that well, yeah, you were good enough to take care of kids.
Well, it resonates to me right now, even thinking about it, it made me cry. Like the judge, when he gave me, I wanted to get my kids back. He didn't know what to do with me. He sent me home. And the last court hearing went in there. And he stated clearly that the list of parents with a drug addiction getting their children back is a very short list.
Yes.
And for a father to come in here and get his kids back in Kenosha County has never happened before.
Yes.
You know, they gave my kids back. But I just, there wasn't, they're like, all people like, oh, you know, congratulations, getting your kids back, you're raising. I had no, I had an option. They're my kids. There was no ever doubt not to do the right thing. They're mine. I'm not about to walk away and like, oh, you could have walked away anytime and, you know, washed your hands. What? They're my children. There was no option to walk away or to not fight for my kids and not jump through the hoops they gave me. You know, you wanted me to take a class, I took five. Everything they told me to do, I took three. Or just, you couldn't, there was not going to be an option. They're my blood. They're my, there was never a doubt, you know. I got a little twisted in the head for a while there in life. I just.
Can you share the story about Kenny?
Terms.
Can you share the story about Kenny? Can you give us a brief story about Kenny when he had the breakout pack? That he always had his pack by the door?
God, he had a bug out pack. Yeah, and that bothered me too. I was like, what's that? And then, you know, that was in case I OD'd and died or probation parole or I got arrested, right? You know, they found me dead somewhere. I was going to prison. He had a bag packed in his room so that way you can grab and go. And that bothered me because I didn't know he had that in his bedroom in a couple years. And I'm just like, what's that in the corner? He told me it was his bug out bag, you know? They're like all waiting for me to OD and die one day or to get a call from the jail or the morgue, you know, and that bothered me. There's no kid should have to go through that and deserve that. And, you know, and what I do, it doesn't just affect me, it affects everybody around me.
Yes.
You know, so my fridge is full, you know, out of my paycheck, everything is bought and paid for out of my hard earned money, everything in that garage. I bought my oldest kid a Harley Davidson. You know, for his 17th first year in high school, or whatever it was, I bought him a Harley Sports for. And to be able to give things to my children, I never could before. You know, I recall years back when I took my kid to go look at a go-kart for sale. You know, I had the money in my pocket. And then I thought, well, if I buy the go-kart, I can't buy the crack. I can't buy the heroin. I ain't got enough money for my drugs. So I made up whatever excuse, reason not to buy the toy because my drugs were more important, you know? And that kills me today thinking about that. That I would sit there and deny my kids because my drugs meant more to me than that, you know? And so now I got go-karts, dirt bikes, mini bikes. So I got a garage full of toys now.
Yes.
I mean, like, full blown. But at one point in time, I would ration out, you know, just for my drug usage, you know, and deny my own children and a pity party for me. You know, my son's mom is dead and gone. And I'm like, poor me. I got a 9-year-old boy going through living hell sober. You know, I just lost his mama. And I got to go get high and shoot some heroin because, you know, because she was a partner at that. You know, and I got to do drugs to get over something. And I got a little kid. So I was always there for him. I never left my children. I just mentally, I wasn't there. You know, physically, I was there, but mentally, I was checked out, getting high. And then one time, I come home, I couldn't find my needle. Scotty, 10, almost 11 years old, he found it, threw it in the garbage. I scolded him, yelled at him, dug in that bottom of the garbage bag to find my needle so I go get high. I mean, what parent, what good person, what good parent does that? No. So, yeah, I have a lot of guilt and a lot of, and people say I do this stuff now or buy this stuff because I'm parenting out of guilt, you know, trying to, I'm like, no, everything I bought now, I would have bought before had I not done the drug. I'd have a junkyard going on right now if I would have never, you know, I'd have my own Jance yard floor out here. You know, yeah, by now I'd have 10 times more than I got had I never got into the drugs. And, you know, it goes back, like I told you before, I was standing in my driveway with all my toys, proud of myself, but I never did this. And I never did that. And, like, that's not me. And it's weird how you can have everything. And just like that, you know, in a matter of weeks or months, you lose everything. Addiction is powerful, you know, and trauma, you know, of life can change everything overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and make you, you know, go from a well-respected person to a drug addict on a corner begging for change, you know. So I don't take anything for granted. I know how fast you can lose everything. I've lost it.
Well, Scott, I want to thank you. You have been a heck of a guest and shared a lot of good information with our audience. And we want you to know that we're always praying for you, always thinking about you, and we're always here at Birds of a Feather, Morning Associates, to lend our hand, to assist in any kind of way that we can to continue your process in your recovery in your life and with your children and your family. And we're also praying for your mom. I hope that she's much better today than she were 2 days ago when you went first to the hospital with your sister. So
going there, I'm a little bit here. I'm heading there now. But thank you. And I owe a lot to the Birds of Feather, to your story and what happened to you and you coming from where you were to where you're at now. And,
yes, sir.
Yeah, Willie and Charles, and I owe everything to Birds of the Feather. You know, before I met you, I was lying and, you know, even trying to fake drug tests coming into your building and just bullshitting you and everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, and I just finally just accepted what my fate and just, but you got to want as bad as you want to breathe.
Yeah. You know, I love that. On that note, this has been Criminal Thinking Deterred. We love giving this information to you, and we'll continue to bring other podcasts to you. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Tony.
Yes, sir.
You've been listening to Criminal Thinking Deterred with Tony Moore. Visit our website, www.criminalthinking.net. Follow Criminal Thinking on Facebook and Instagram. Also, listen, follow, and download Criminal Thinking Deterred on the major podcast channels. Thank you, and have a productive day.